Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
In the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus talking about the signs of his return and some of the events that will be taking place during that time. And as we know, and if you listen very much to any programming on television or radio or hear sermons preached about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are those who have different opinions and views as to what has taken place. Some teach, and I was surprised at some that teach this now, that all of this took place around AD 70 and the years following that, and that all of this has already happened that Jesus was speaking about here. Well, all I've got to say is if it already took place, then I'm sorry, but heaven's kind of a disappointment if that's the case. But it is not the case. It is not what Jesus was talking about. Yes, there were events that took place there, and there are a lot of times in the Bible when something is talked about that happens almost immediately or right around that time, but it also foretells events that are yet to come. And we're reading here of events that are still to come and events that are taking place during our lifetime. And as we read, and I suggest when you get home today or maybe in the next day or two, read the entire 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. But for time's sake here, we're only going to read verses 23 through 27. And today I want to read it from the complete Jewish Bible. And it says, at that time, if someone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe him. For there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, so as to fool even the chosen, if possible. There I have told you in advance. So if people say to you, listen, he's out in the desert, don't go. Or look, he's hidden away in a secret room, don't believe it. For when the Son of Man does come, it will be like lightning that flashes out of the east and fills the sky to the western horizon. At the time of the birth of Jesus, going back even years prior to that, there were those who were false messiahs. There were men who come and put themselves before the public, so to speak, as the Messiah. Many people followed them. Many lives were lost in doing so. So this was not something new, really, when Jesus comes on the scene, who is the Messiah, and people are declaring him to be the Messiah. And I can somewhat understand maybe a little doubt in their minds as to why, because they had seen events take place that had cost the loss of lives. But as Jesus went on to do these things that he was able to do, none of these other false messiahs were able to do things that Jesus did. None of these other false messiahs were able to rise from the dead. Yes, some of them lost their life, but they did not lose it for the salvation of mankind. They lost it because they were trying to win independence for the Jewish state. So Jesus comes on the scene. We read what we have in Holy Scripture. And guess what? It isn't very much long after that till there are other people coming on the scene claiming to be Messiah. I am Messiah. Even in our day and age, there are those who come on the scene that have claimed to be Messiah. I remember a particular name has always stuck in my mind. I don't know why, but he claimed to be God. when I was a youngster. And he went by the name, or was called, Father Divine. He claimed to be the Messiah. But guess what? He died. There was another man on the scene, I remember as a youth, that claimed to be Jesus. And guess what? One of his disgruntled followers blew up the house that he was in. We've seen events like that take place. There are some that you can think about that's been in recent years. Men who claimed to be Messiah. Follow me! And you know the amazing thing about it? They always get followers. Did you ever wonder about that? How did they manage to do it? Just not too many years ago, there was the incident in Waco with Koresh. I think that was his name. David Koresh. How did he get these people to follow him? I mean, if you look at some of the videotapes that were available of some of the stuff, you can tell he was a nut job. But people followed him. Jim Jones. People followed him. Down to the point when they said, he said, drink the Kool-Aid, they drank the Kool-Aid. And those that didn't want to drink the Kool-Aid, they forced to drink the Kool-Aid. Now, our first visit to Guyana came just a few years after that incident had taken place. And quite frankly, the Guyanese government was just a little bit suspicious of any American preacher that came across their border at that time. And they wanted to know what you were doing. And in fact, one of the things we were told in going through custom, do not tell them you're here to preach. And I told our friend that went with us, don't tell them you're here to preach. And so going into the country, he didn't tell them. Coming back out, customs agent asks us a few questions. I give them very generic answers, as did Mary. Oh, we were here to preach. And guess what? A man and a woman walked up behind them, tapped them on the shoulder, and said, come with us. And they tucked them in and did all but a strip search, actually, to see what they had with them. Because they said, and the person told them, said, I'm a Christian. This is my job. I have to do it. But this is why, because you told them you were here to preach, and they don't trust American preachers right now. Verse 24, I want to read that one more time. It says, for there will appear false messiahs and false prophets performing great miracles, amazing things, if it were possible, that they should deceive the very elect, or as in the complete Jewish Bible, it says, the chosen. Luke went on to state in Luke chapter 21, verse 8, and he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, follow ye not them therefore. Well, this week as I begin to prepare for the message, the only thing that kept coming to my mind was about titles. Titles. Well, let's just take the title, Christ. Did you realize that's not Jesus' last name? There are some people that think his first name was Jesus, his last name was Christ. But that's a title. Christos is the Greek word. And what does it mean? It means the anointed or Messiah. His title was the anointed one or the Messiah. Now the world is title crazy. It seems like to get anywhere in life anymore, you've got to have some sort of title or initials after your name. And I have actually seen some people's signature block on a letter, and following their last name is all sorts of little letter designations, and it can stretch on, you know. And it seems like you can get a letter designation for just about anything anymore. You go to your job and If you work for a fairly large company, they probably have training courses. You take the training course, and you get initials then to put after your name in some of them. I know that's the case in the industry that my wife works in. You take courses, you get initials you can put after your name. I worked in payroll for a few years. I took classes. I could have had initials to put after my name. When I signed a letter to my client, I could put these initials. That initial didn't really tell anybody how well I did my job or how good I was at it or how honest I was. It just said that I had initials after my name. Now, it could make me look more important. If you go out to apply for a job, they begin to ask you, well, do you have a college degree? Do you have a BA or an AA or an MA or some of these other degrees that you can get or some sort of a doctorate that you might have? And, oh, yeah, well, they don't always ask what these are in. And I remember one particular instance where the person's master's degree was in basket weaving. It was of absolutely no benefit to them in the job that they had, but because they had a master's degree, yes, it did benefit them financially. But we're title crazy, and we like to give titles to people. And that not only has affected the secular world, but it affects the church world as well. The church world seems to be seeking titles today. In fact, I'm amazed how many times now that I get something from somebody, and it's from Prophet so-and-so, or Apostle so-and-so, or some other type of designation that they have given themselves. And that's supposed to make them be, I guess, more important. In fact, I got an email the other day from a Prophet so-and-so that I'd never heard of, that he had, God had given him a special prophecy for me and called this number. And I thought, well, if God gave you a message for me, why didn't you just give me the message and then God could verify it with me? You know? But, oh, by the way, it was put in, this prophecy is free.
Right.
Yeah. Some of them aren't, folks. So we go after titles and we follow after titles. Oh, he's a prophet, follow him. He's an apostle, follow him. Isn't that what Jesus was alluding to when he says he's in the desert, go over here, or he's over there, go over there? We're following sometimes after titles. I've said for years, if a person is a prophet, God will show you they're a prophet and you will know they're a prophet, and they don't have to jump on their bandwagon or a soapbox or whatever and tell you every other breath that they're a prophet or an apostle or what have you. It will be known by their fruits is what the Bible tells us. There's one particular person that goes by the name Prophet so-and-so, and I'm not going to tell you who he is, but I have watched his ministry over probably the last 10 years, and I'm still waiting to really see one of those prophecies come true, especially the one about cheap fuel for our cars. I've really been waiting for that one.
Me too.
I'm sure we all are. And I would love to see that one come true, but so far it hasn't. He said if he knew what it was, he would invest in it. Well, he hasn't invested in it. It hasn't happened yet, so. We go to church, and sometimes we have special designations for certain things in church. Somebody was talking the other day that there was a special room called the healing room or the prophecy room or what have you. And I remember hearing of some churches like that before. And it's not new. If you read back into the earlier part of the 1900s, there were those ministries that had special rooms. You go here, or you go to this place, and you go for prophecy. You go to this place, and you go for healing. And I remember, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I'm not knocking Oral Roberts, but there were people who could only thought they could get healed if Oral Roberts prayed for them. Well, God could heal me if Oral Roberts could just pray for me. It doesn't take a particular person necessarily to pray for you for God to heal you. The list goes on as to what they might have. They have the financial blessings room, I think, in some of them. You know, you got to come here if you want a financial blessing. You know, well, this is this certain day is coming up, and because of these numbers, and they come up with all this numeral. And if you watch Christian television, and I should put that in quotes, Christian television, sometimes some of the stuff on you there, it's all about money. Okay, well, it's and they like lately to pick Jewish holidays. Oh, it's this Jewish holiday, and it's got these numbers designated with. And if you will send us this amount of money, God is going to bless you. Well, it would be nice if it was really that easy, wouldn't it? But for most people that send that money in, they never see any return on it. Well, the guy that is going to gets the return on it, that's for sure. You know, that's one of the things I've told you for years. One of the things I dislike doing most in church is having to take the offering. And I know the church has to have money to operate. And sometimes we have to talk about it. But I don't like doing it. Because today the church has become, and a lot of people think of the church as a place where you go to have them beg for your money. And I'm not going to do that. We like to have showmanship. I look at some of the TV programs, and I don't really want you to think that I'm being critical of some of them, but I'm just putting some things out here. My wife says I am. Some of them are really kind of neat. Some of them I really kind of wish we could do. In their platform design and so on. But we go in for showmanship. We have flashing lights and fireworks going off. And when I first moved to Tennessee, I worked briefly for a company that sold Christian items such as flags and banners and things of that nature. And they had a product that they didn't manufacture, but they sold it. And it was indoor fireworks for churches to use for special events like the 4th of July. But now we use them for all kinds of things. And sometimes you feel almost more like you're going to a show at the Bridgestone than you are to church. You know, showmanship. Which preacher can do the most antics? Well, I guess when it comes to that, I'm probably bottom of the pole down there somewhere, you know. But there are those that they're great showmen. Some are great orators, but yet some of the greatest orators, their message has been meaningless, really, because they didn't have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in there. I remember, and I don't know if my wife remembers it or not, but years ago, I was an associate pastor at a church in California. And the pastor had a young female evangelist came. If I recall correctly, she was, I believe, still a teenager. And her parents came with her. But she was billed as the mod evangelist. I'm not sure any of you sitting here today even know what that would have alluded to. But I do recall back at that particular time, there was a TV show called The Mod Squad. So everything had to be mod. So she was billed as her name, the mod evangelist. Well, I'll have to say that was the first time I'd heard of the mod evangelist. And when she left, it was the last time I ever heard of her, you know. So titles don't necessarily make it. Showmanship doesn't necessarily make it. In fact, some of them that have had showmanship have turned out to be, quite honestly, fakes. And there was a young evangelist years ago, and at the moment, his name escapes me. But he was a child evangelist. And unfortunately, a lot of times with child evangelists, they're living out. It's their parents' dream being lived out through them vicariously. He was a young evangelist. People got saved in his meetings. People can get saved even though the evangelist himself is not saved. It's the Word of God. It's what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary that saves you, not the preacher you're listening to. Amen. Years down the road, I had an acquaintance who did tent revivals. And this young man went to this other evangelist I know and asked him, he's going to be filming a movie about his life. And he wants to know if he can preach at his tent, one of his tent meetings. So he let him preach. I didn't happen to be at it, and I only have things secondhand, but so I really don't know how the message. But you know what? When anything's filmed, there's also something called editing. And when the movie came out, that tent revival meeting wasn't exactly the way it was in person. Because when the movie comes out, the evangelist is praying for a dog, and I forget what the event was, but it has something to do with that, and a dog being prayed for out there. The evangelist not only turned his back on God, he went on to act in a couple of porn movies, but he was the one that people followed. They made great things about him. We have gimmicks in the church, such as gold dust. Anybody ever heard of that one? Or some of the other things, and I remember some that when I was young, oh, this is going on in the church. We got to run down there because we're having this happen. And churches split over it. Various events like that. They came and they went. We were running around after signs and wonders, or as the Complete Jewish Bible calls it, amazing things. Oh, this is happening. Jesus is over here. I quit. Okay, we got to run over here. Oh, this is happening over here. And they're following after those things. And a lot of the people that followed out, I wonder where they are today. What did Jesus say about all of this? His words were, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, or as it said in the Complete Jewish Bible, the chosen. The enemy knows us. You know, there's an old saying out there, and I don't remember who said it, but it's very true, and it says, you know, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. Also, we're told to know our enemy. If we don't know what they're doing, how are we going to be able to counteract the enemy? And I know some people, oh, I got to know my enemy, so I got to go out and I got to frequent the bars so I can know my enemy. You know, I got to do this so I can know my enemy. That's not what he's talking about. But we've got to know what the enemy's up to so we can anticipate and prepare and plan for what the enemy's going to throw against us. Because the devil doesn't come around, and I think I may have mentioned this just recently, he doesn't come around with a pitchfork and cloven hooves and a forked tail. If he did, we'd know who he was and we'd run. But the Bible tells us he comes around as an angel of light, and he's masquerading as somebody that we really want to know. Hi, I'm Apostle so-and-so. Larry, you really want to know me? Yes, sir. Or, I'm Prophet. Kevin, I got a word for you. Yeah. You just listen to what I have to say. Don't listen to what anybody else had. Only take what I have to say to you now. And that's the way it is. And I remember, over the years, and probably this has happened to maybe everyone in here, some of you younger people, maybe not, but, you know, over a period of time, I've had people prophesy, come up and prophesy over me, and I am still waiting for any one of those prophecies to come true. You know, I should be sitting on the top of the heap with money in the bank and driving a Rolls Royce by now. Didn't happen. Oh, I was going to pastor a church in Beverly Hills. I was going to have this happen. I was going to have that happen. One lady come up and prophesied over me and Mary, and she was going to babysit our children, except we didn't have any kids. We'd just gotten married. We didn't have any kids. I never saw the lady again, by the way. But, yeah, things like that. Deception. Look at me. I'm so-and-so. You need to follow me. And pretty soon you begin to follow him. That Jesus character. Forget that Jesus character out there. You want to follow me. I'm the one that's got the word of truth for you. I'm the one that's going to lead you down the golden path. And where's the Bible tell us that golden path is leading to? Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the path that leads through the straight gate. We need to be heading down that narrow path, and it's not always easy, and it's not always a piece of cake, and it's not always a bed of roses. It's not always everything that we would hope for in life. Sometimes we go through trials, and we go through tribulations, and we go through hardships. But if we follow Jesus, he will get us through. And it's what's laying on the other side for us that's most important. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He's got a place prepared for you. Now, I know that the King James translates a mansion, and I always hate to think, would I really want to rattle around in some big old mansion all by myself for all of eternity? No, it just says he has a place prepared for us. I don't know exactly what it's like, and none of us really do. But he said he prepared a place for us, and if he is the God of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it ain't no junk heap. It's a nice place. It's all that we ever need. And then some. He's prepared a place for us. Oh, yeah, you can follow somebody because of the titles they've got or what they call themselves or who they pretend to be. But if you're not following Jesus Christ, you are following the path to destruction. And Father, I pray now as we close this message, Father, for those that may hear it that are outside this building, Father, some may be attracted by some of these things. And I pray, Father, today that the Holy Spirit would speak to their heart. Father, would help them to realize that they need to focus their sights and their attention, their direction upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I know some places, even in our own country, America, today the name Jesus is being banned and they don't want you to say it. But Father, I ask today that you will help us to stand true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for it.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.